personality profile. So 8th of March is International Women's Day. It's an ode to the social, cultural, political achievements of women the world over. It's also an opportunity to raise awareness on gender equality issues and advocate for progress towards a more equitable world. Now, today I bring you an amazing conversation with one woman who needs to be celebrated. I mean, if she hasn't received her flowers now, well, I came with a whole bouquet. Yes, welcome along to Personality Profile. I'll tell you about this awesome guest of mine. So, this woman's impact transcends the boundaries of Imo State in Nigeria, where she's from. Yeah, for over 25 years, my guest has graced our screens with poise and grace and carved an enviable brand as one of the screen goddesses. And when we talk about best actresses on the continent, they don't come bigger than her, to be honest. Yeah. She's a multiple award-winning Nollywood actress, producer, model, television personality, investor, and a philanthropist as well. She's received numerous accolades, becoming the first actress to have won the AMVCA Best Actress Award in both the drama and comedy categories. As a producer, she was the first ever recipient of the Africa Magic Viewers' Choice New Era Award in 2014. And the award recognizes people who have blazed the trails, new trails, in multiple areas of filmmaking. She's the co-founder of the Audrey Silver Company, a leading film company. Over the years, she's built an endearing brand, an inspirational one at that. She's represented many brands, including Nokia, Glow Mobile, Keystone Bank, Zerin Cosmetics. I mean, the list is endless. Rita Uchenna Nkem Dominic. I probably screwed the name, but the last one I won't even attempt. But she would help me. Rita Dominic is my guest here. Yeah. Hello, Rita.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
So good to see. So I'm sure you're smiling because I screwed the name up, did I?
Funny enough, you actually tried.
Oh, I tried. Huh?
I'm laughing because you didn't attempt to pronounce the last name.
So you're going to help me, huh?
I'm going to help you.
Okay, good. Let's go.
Waturocha.
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 Yeah. That's my name, you know, but obviously I'm married now, so it's now Rita Dominic. I'm still Rita Dominic,
still
but
Rita
my
Dominic.
Husband's name is Anosike.
Okay.
So it's Rita Dominic Anosike.
There you go.
Yeah, but I am Rita Dominic. My Rita Dominic name is still there. The brand is still Rita Dominic.
Absolutely.
You know, when I'm working, it's Rita Dominic.
Good stuff.
Outside of work, I'm Mrs. Rita Dominic Anosike.
Well, Mrs., you're welcome. And you're looking glorious.
Thank you.
And I keep telling you,
thank you.
Rita, it's only an interview. Like, it's only a conversation we're about to have. And it looks red carpet now.
Really, this is red carpet? Then wait for the red carpet.
Oh my goodness. She goes to all ends to make her presence felt. And we're excited to have you. How are you, by the way?
I'm very well, thank you. And thanks for having me.
And how's Ghana treating you? Are you having fun so far?
Amazing.
I need to make some calls.
Okay. No, you shouldn't, actually.
Are you sure?
I've been well taken care of. I've had a warm reception.
Okay.
Ghanaians are just, you know, they're so... You're so polite, you know, at each sentence or at the end of every sentence, you know, yes, please. Or if you ask them a question, they'll respond with a yes, please. At the end,
yes,
they're very
please.
Polite, they're very warm,
yeah.
They're very hospitable, you know, so it's been amazing since I've been here.
Great. Yeah. And is there anything we can do to make it better or add up to it a little bit more?
Let me think. You know what? Okay. I'm yet to try the famous Ghanaian jollof rice. I want to understand what this war about Nigerian jollof and Ghanaian jollof is about. So
that's good.
I'd like to try that.
Haven't now because we need to get you the best of the best.
Yes.
And believe me, you're going to love it.
Okay.
Yeah. My only problem is you might actually want to stay a little longer and enjoy and denounce your Nigerian citizenship.
I would never do that.
After tasting the jollof, but yeah, we'd actually make sure you have that before you leave.
Yeah? Okay, sure. I'm looking forward
great.
To that.
Okay, great. This year's theme for the International Women's Day is Inspire Inclusion.
Inclusion.
I mean, generally on the topic, what do you think about the efforts that the world has made in advocating for a more equitable world and a better place for women to thrive?
Which is why the conversation, you know, we need to keep having this conversation. Mm. We need to continuously, like, have such platforms like women of valor,
yeah,
so that they see people, women from all walks of life, you know, achieve success, so that they can see that success is attainable regardless of, yeah, your religious beliefs, yeah, your political beliefs, you know, your background. It's important because for me, I believe that when every woman is empowered, or every woman of every race or tribe or whatever, when we're empowered, then the world is a much better place.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So yeah, so I really like the theme this year.
So, I was just thinking about, I was looking at you again and I was like, Kate did such a good job, huh?
Kate?
Yeah.
She didn't do my makeup, actually.
Oh, she didn't do?
She did the hair. Well, she did some of the hair.
She actually oversaw everything.
She oversaw everything, exactly.
We need to give her flowers.
Right?
She's done a good job.
She gets flowers all the time. She knows.
Well,
I call her, she's my right hand and my left hand.
Yes, good thing this conversation is not just on Joy FM. It's got to be on Joy Prime as well. Folks can see you in all your glory.
Cool.
The one and only Rita Dominic. So, it's easy to say you're one of the most successful actresses on the continent. It's easy to call out the top three and your name would be in there.
Okay.
Is Rita Dominic fulfilled? Is this the point where she's like, yeah, I'm happy with what I've done?
It's important to look at your journey and appreciate where you are and what, you know, just appreciate your journey, basically. Mm. Because if you don't look back, you won't appreciate the present. So I'm one of those that, in as much as I appreciate my journey and where I find myself, I don't rest on my laurels, in the sense that I don't believe that I know everything. I believe in constant education, constant acquiring, or the need to acquire knowledge. You know, for me, I believe that doesn't stop. It continues even till you get older. You know, you continue to learn, you continue to be better, continue to be a better version of yourself. Mm-hmm. So in as much as I'm happy where I am, I'm fulfilled. However, I believe in still pushing.
Pushing for what again?
You'll find out very soon.
Because I'm thinking, what's there for Rita Dominic to do again?
Tell me, what really are the things
that you're excited about now?
There's so much more. Okay, first and foremost, I'm now handling, or rather, my husband has handed over Miss Nigeria Beauty Pageant to my company to manage it for about 5 years. Yes, the
Miss Nigeria Pageant. You would be handling that.
Yes, and our first edition is this year, next month, hopefully.
Oh, I see.
Fingers crossed.
Oh, I'd love to be there.
Yes.
Miss Nigeria.
Yeah.
Are you getting the crown yourself, or are you giving it to all the
young
girls?
I'm giving it to somebody else. You know, so it's a bit scary in the sense that it's new waters. I've not done anything like that before.
Okay.
And it's also exciting because it's something new. I've learned a lot in such a short period between myself and my business partner. We've done crash programs on pageantry because we had to study it because it's different from film. And we're bringing elements of film to it as well. You know, we're bringing element of reality into it, in the sense that, you know, you have so many biases about beauty pageants. So we want to create a reality aspect of the process so that people can begin to understand that this is not just about being beautiful, it goes beyond that, which is what Miss Nigeria is about. It is an empowerment platform to empower these young women. So we want to let people know that it's not just about beauty, it's about brains, about, you know, who you are on the inside. So we want to capture that process so that the viewers can see what it's about.
No, we're looking forward to that.
We're merging both together, film, beauty pageant.
Yeah. No, that's exciting, yeah.
Yeah, so that's something new that we're working on. And also, we have a lot of projects we're doing this year for my company, or in my company, the Audrey Silva Company. We have two projects we're filming this year, hopefully. The first one is a comedy, Film People. The second one is, you know, the return of a very iconic film. We're going to be doing the part two of The Meeting. You know, The Meeting was a very popular film when it was released and all that, so yeah.
Do you still enjoy going on the screen, or
course,
now you enjoy
doing
the production bit that you're into now?
To be honest, I'm still an actor, and I'll always be an actor. And acting is my first love. I mean, that was what I knew, and that's what I studied and majored in before deciding to go behind the camera. Mm-hmm. So I still act. I mean, I have a film that was released in December on Prime, Amazon Prime, and then I just finished a Netflix original. That was co-produced. It was a partnership between Netflix and Ebony Life Films, owned by Moa Budu. Yeah, so it's a Netflix original. We just finished. It's a series. We just finished filming it. So, in as much as I like the process of filmmaking, I still like to be in front of camera.
Yeah.
Because I like becoming. I like the idea of becoming.
Yeah.
You know, being somebody else. You know, for me, I use acting as a way of studying human beings, because when you're playing a role, you're studying a human being without even meeting that particular person, you know. So I just love everything about, filmmaking, being in front of it, behind it.
Okay. Yeah. Since we're taking stock of your journey, and I'm glad you say you're fulfilled and you're happy with the journey, if you look back, what's really that moment you thought, probably this is my best moment in my career?
There are a number of them, a few of them. Well, I would say, when 76, a film I featured in, had its world premiere at Toronto Film Festival. You know, for me, that was huge.
Yeah.
You know, and I think every actor wants their work to be seen on a global stage.
Yeah.
And that was what 76 did for me at TIFF. Yeah. Toronto International Film Festival. So yeah.
What are you proudest of?
Where I am today, who I am, what I've done with, you know, just being here, to be honest. Being here, still being relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Because to be honest, to still stay relevant after 24 years in the industry is it's not easy. You know, let's be honest. So being here, still being, you know, very relevant and all that, I give God the glory. You know, I'm a Christian, so I will definitely give God the glory for that. And I appreciate that, and that's something.
What's your biggest regret?
My biggest regret.
The ones you don't want to share, I respect.
So this is, I don't really like to say obviously I'm a human being, there'll be certain things you do and you may regret, but I don't like to dwell on my regrets, because for me it's a learning process. So I don't really like to call them regrets.
We also
for
want
me.
To learn.
Yeah, it's okay, learn from your own.
So let me guess, it doesn't have to do with acting.
Not necessarily. Let me put it this way. Maybe at the start of my career, you know, making like poor choices with certain scripts and roles that I was given.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, maybe.
So there were certain
scripts, roles,
personalities that you didn't like becoming.
I didn't like becoming, and I didn't like the quality of the project, and I knew, but I just went ahead and did it.
Because of the money?
Yeah. Because of the money. Sometimes it's just because of the money.
I see. So it's been 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
For you, was that the passion? Was that something you wanted to do? I read somewhere you actually started acting at age 5.
Yes, actually. I've been doing this all my life, to be honest.
Wow.
I mean, my mom said I came out of her womb literally like lights, camera, action in my head. You know, so this is all I've known. This is all I've ever done. I've been doing it since I was 5.
How were you introduced to that at 5? Is it your parents just
put
you in the movie?
Yeah, it was my mom. So I think my mom was actually trying to live her dream through me, from what I understand now. Because I found out about 4 years ago that my mom wanted to become a photographer at that time. But my grandfather, my late granddad, refused. You know, then, who would let their first child
become a photographer?
Exactly, especially a female.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that just put a lot of things into perspective for me. And I realized that, okay, I think she was trying to live her dream through me, because I think she noticed my talent from such a young age, and she helped to hone it. I started attending like children programs where you display like talent shows every Saturday and Sunday. I did that through my childhood. So I'll come back from school, I'll finish my homework, and then I'll start like preparing for a recital or a poem or a presentation for the Saturday for the shows. As a child in the area where we lived, I was actually known.
You were known?
Yes, as a child, you know, performer, actor. And then I went on to secondary school. I was made the I was a social prefect and also the vice president of the dramatic club and the press club.
Okay.
You know, and then when it was time to study, to go to university, it was a no-brainer. Everybody in my family knew that I was going to study theater arts.
Yeah.
Which was a blessing because at the time, many parents did not want
allow their children to
study
arts.
Yeah, you know, so I really, 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 really loved my parents for the support. And
it's like you've been in the limelight your
whole life. Absolutely, yeah.
You enjoy it?
Okay. I enjoy the creative part of it. Let me just put it that way. I enjoy creating. I enjoy becoming. And then, you know, obviously the fame comes with it. So, okay, fine.
But what about the fame bit? Tell me about it.
It's okay, fine. Yes, the fame is nice. It can open doors. It can do all sorts of pleasant things for you. But there are aspects of it that I really don't like.
Which aspects?
You know, you can't, like, you know, you can't really be yourself sometimes. You know, people are constantly, like, you're under scrutiny all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the part that I struggle with. Even after how many years, I still struggle with it a little bit. It gets better, yes, over the years, but I still struggle with that scrutiny and that constant, that constant judgment, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And misunderstanding as well, because a lot of people probably misunderstand who you are.
Yeah, they do. And then sometimes they tend to think that I'm some of the characters or roles I play. I'm not. I'm different, which is why it's so important to me to be different from the roles I play.
Mm.
You know.
I mean, I'm excited to hear that you had parents who supported the dream to become a creative art person.
Yeah.
Because that was quite not common 20 years ago.
It was not.
Yeah, but what are the
lessons? And both were medical people.
Say that again.
My parents were both medical people.
Medical people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
My dad was a medical doctor. My mom was a chief nursing officer. Exactly. I know.
Wow.
Yeah, I was lucky.
You totally were, and you were the last born.
Yeah.
Of four children.
Four children. Yeah.
And they're last ones get whatever they want.
Okay, if you say But funny enough, none of my siblings told the medical line.
All of them?
All of them.
All of them?
None.
None of them?
None of them.
Okay. What are they into?
One is a software engineer.
Okay.
One is a...
is it time to open the family WhatsApp group?
Can I? but both of them are sort of in, you know, like they work with mental health patients, kind of. One works with mental health patients, the other one works with, it's someone she does is similar. So, well, it's still kind of medical, but not like medical
mainstream
doctor.
Mainstream medical doctor.
Mainstream medical doctor, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the biggest lesson your parents taught you?
Believe in yourself. When they say something is impossible, try and make it possible. Try all your best to make sure it's possible until it's impossible.
Share with me, I mean, if I mention your mom, share with me one of your fondest memories of as a young person.
Yeah, so my mom always used to, she was actually very funny, and I don't think she knew how funny she was. So she would say the funniest things and then we'll start laughing. And then she always used this one, you guys are making a caricature of me. And she said it with this very thick, you know, Nigerian accent. And it was always so funny. So each time I would mimic her, it would even annoy her more because I'm mimicking her. And it was always so funny. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember that all the time. And then I used to follow her around a lot in the house. I don't know, maybe because I'm the last child. She'll go from the living room to the kitchen, I'm walking behind her. She'll go from the kitchen to, I'll be walking behind her. So, you know, and each time she told me, stop following me. And she'll say with such a smile, but it's like she wanted me to continue following her, not to stop, you know. So,
about your dad?
Oh, my dad. So, my dad, yeah? There's this food back home. You know the fufu?
Fufu, yes.
Yes, my dad hated fufu. He would eat the pounded yam and the eba. Mm. But fufu, he couldn't stand the smell. So, my mom liked eating it. So, each time my mom was making it, my dad would say to me, what's that thing stinking in the kitchen? mom is making that shitty food again. Why is she making that? And my dad was so English, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So it was just little things like that. And my dad was always...
Nice.
Both of them just
family,
had very... you know, they really had huge sense. Their humor was... They were very funny people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it helped your drama life. They brought the drama on, eh?
It's possible.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Rubbed off you in so many ways.
It's possible. Yeah. I think so. It's possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what? Many years later, you're now an actress on mainstream Nigerian television. The whole of Nigeria knows you. I mean, Ghana knows you too. Africa is getting to know you. Where did the big break come in? Was it a process or it was a moment?
I think it was a process for me.
Okay.
Some other people, it was a moment, or
yeah,
they had their moments. Mine was a process. I was lucky that my first project in Nollywood, I played a lead role. My first project in Nollywood. However, that you think that because you played a lead role with your first project, it was going to continue being that way. No. I had my lows after that. In that process, I had certain films that were, that did very well in the market, because that was the era of VCD.
Right.
Yeah, before cinemas came.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when cinemas came, I executive produced, co-produced, and acted in this film I'm telling you about, The Meeting.
Oh, the one we're about to do, part two.
Yes, the funny one. It was hilarious. People had never seen me in such a role before.
Yeah.
So that was another, very successful outing for me when cinema culture was introduced to the Nigerian entertainment or film industry.
Yeah,
so that did well. 76 did well. I had a few of them that did well. So
for
it's
a lot
been a
of
process
people,
really.
For a lot of people, when they start, making film as actors and actresses, it's more of a sacrificial job because you want to you get paid pittance because you want to make a name for yourself.
Absolutely.
Was it the same for you?
Of course. I mean, there was no money. I remember when I used to say, when I was still in uni studying theatre, I always talked about, wanting to work in the film industry. It wasn't called Nollywood at the time. And I remember my friends used to look at me like, are you all right? There's no money. How you could survive?
Yeah.
And, to me, they didn't make sense. I didn't understand what they were saying. I just wanted to work as an actor. I wanted to create. I wanted to just, become. Let me just put it that way. And to be honest, there was no money in Nollywood. We were just doing it for, the passion. We had the passion for the arts, which is what drove us, which is what fueled us, And it was very challenging. It was not easy. But we just kept doing it until the industry, got bigger and bigger and bigger. And obviously the pay became much better.
Do you recall the lowest amount you got paid for a film?
I didn't get paid for, the first film I did, he paid me 35,000 naira, but he owed me 20K for almost, in fact, he didn't even pay me the 20K. No, he didn't pay me the 25K.
Wait, let me pull out my calculator.
Yeah,
now.
He didn't pay me the 25,000. He actually now hosted the premiere of The Meeting and said he was using that as payment. That was Basoj Tari. May God bless him.
So 35,000 naira, that's 280 Ghana cedis.
Exactly. He paid me only 10K. Out of the 35,000.
Wait, hold up.
So the remaining 25,000, he didn't pay me.
Okay.
And then the second project I did, he never paid me.
Oh,
and,
wow.
May God rest his soul. The marketer died.
Okay. 10,000 naira. That's what you got.
Yes.
That's 80 CDs.
Yes.
Okay. So that can actually get us it can get us a plate of jollof.
There you go. And that
but
was,
without chicken.
Yes. Without chicken. I mean, look at that. That was in, when was my first film? That was 1998.
98 or about.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was 1998. Yeah. So. And then some films I did, I was paid peanuts,
Wow.
But for some reason, I just kept doing it because it wasn't just me, especially like myself and my peers, Motola, Genevieve, who were just doing it because we loved it.
Mm.
Ramsey, all of us were just acting because we just enjoyed it. And obviously, as the industry got better and bigger, so did the finances become better.
By the time, weren't your family worried?
Oh, they were,
of course. You're getting the fame, you're on TV.
Yeah, so where's the money?
Where's the money,
But I guess I was lucky because I'm the last child.
Mm.
So I didn't really have, that much, pressure
Okay.
You know, to take care of parents and things like that. My siblings were already doing that. So the pressure was off me a little bit, you know, but they were just worried, you know, wondering, what is our younger sister doing? Are you, what's happening, you know? And to be honest, I ignored them quite a number of times. I just continued doing what I was doing. And thank God there were no, we didn't have mobile phones, because if I had mobile phones, I'm sure my phones would have been constantly ringing. Rita, what are you doing? Get out of that place, you know? So yeah, I just kept doing what I was
doing. Okay, so if there's one thing you need to know about popular people, they've got very, well, should I say, selective amnesia. See how excited she was when we talked about the lowest she ever took? Okay. Hello, Rita. So
Hello.
Tell me, what's the highest you've ever taken?
It's not going to happen.
You know.
Not revealing it. Definitely not.
You see what I told you? Yeah, they won't.
In fact, yes, you're right. Selective amnesia. I can't remember.
You can't remember. There you go. Yeah. Shame on you.
Shame, yeah. Too bad.
But it's been better now, right?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
It's much better now, and obviously it's even much better if you're a producer.
Okay.
Because you make more money even from, you know, the back end deals and things like that. Yeah.
And now you distribute the money, actually, so yeah.
I mean, when my company is producing, I still act for people.
Yeah,
you know, but when my company is producing, obviously we executive produce and we take care of, you know, the financial aspect of it. Mm-hmm.
I think the industry has gotten a lot better as well, because even though the VCDs and whatnot are not there, the streaming that's bringing some good revenue.
Platforms. Yes.
The online platforms are helping, right?
Yes. Oh, of course. I mean, with all the Netflixes and Prime, Amazon Prime and Showmax, it's helped filmmakers a lot as well.
Would you say times are better now than then? To be an actor, or an actress?
Kind of, in a sense that you see the money.
Okay.
You know, and it's transparent. Mm. You see how many people are watching it on the streaming platforms. You know, you see how many views, you know, and then your work is seen, it reaches a wider audience.
Okay.
So I would say
global audience.
Global audience and a wider audience, you know. So yes, I would say kind of it's better.
Mm-hmm. So the journey.
But you still have the very commercial films, you know, the ones who are doing the films in the eastern part of Nigeria, in Enugu, Asaba. And they seem to be doing very well as well, because they're releasing their films on YouTube. Mm. And, you know, YouTube, they have their audience there.
Yeah.
So those ones, you know, for me, I believe it's just like in Hollywood, you have the straight-to-TV films and you have the blockbuster films. Yeah. So you'd always have the ones that cater to a particular audience. So there's a balance. You have the films that cater to, you know, the YouTube audience, and then you have the ones that cater to the streamers and the cinema people.
Yeah.
So it's okay all around.
This journey to being Rita Dominic, it's not been all smooth.
It's not.
What's, will you say, is the biggest challenge you've encountered in your career?
I'm just going to share one. Okay. Before I decided to become a producer and co-form the Audrey Silver Company, I was silently banned in the industry by the marketers.
You know,
silently
banned?
Yes. You know, the marketers were the ones who had the power to call the shots. They were the lords, the mini gods of the industry at the time. And I'm talking about, you know, the VCD era.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now, they banned me silently because I wanted to do things differently. I was trying to, when I say differently, I was, I will not say rebrand. I just felt like I had gotten to a point where, you know, if you want to acquire services of an actor, you know, it's best to talk to their management, right? Which is the right, which is the norm, you know? So I tried to change certain things about my brand and all that, because it was becoming very overwhelming for me to still be doing my negotiation and things like that. It became so overwhelming. So I started working with manager. I got this manager who I started working with, who I'd always refer them to talk to, which didn't go down well with. It didn't go that well with them.
They didn't like the fact that you had a manager
now,
or someone who was
representing me. They were not used to that. They didn't, you know, they just were speaking to us directly. you know, and all that, which is fine. But the thing for me, it was becoming overwhelming for me to be doing that, which is why I had a manager and I'd refer them to my manager, and I don't think they liked that. So they didn't really, it wasn't a vocal ban or anything like that. It was because years before, prior to that, they had banned some of my colleagues, and they had, there was this outburst and outcry all over us, all over the world, internet at the time, criticizing them for doing that and all that. So when it was my turn, they didn't really say anything about it. It was very silent because how did I know? The work stopped coming.
Right.
The work stopped coming.
They were not calling you.
And
they were not calling.
And this is after I had even achieved fame. You know, this just shows you that they were still calling the shots.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, and then after a while I said to myself, you know what? Because my manager at the time had said to me, she was thinking of forming a production company. Would I want to form it with her? I was still dilly-dallying, I wasn't sure. Now, that made me make up my mind, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to form this production company with you. I'm going to shoot my own films. If they won't give me work, I will give myself work. And even if I don't have to act in all my films, I can still even give people work as well. And that's what I did. That's how the Audrey Silva Company was formed.
And now, when you look back, you still think they blacklisted you because of the whole setup.
I may
or
be wrong,
you
but
think
I
think there was something else.
No, that's the only thing. I can bet my life that that's what happened.
They never came out to offend anybody in the industry.
No, I think that was what happened because we're used to, you know, what you see, manager. You have management now.
Yeah.
And we didn't have all that then, so it was new for them. For me to be telling them to speak to manager, it was, they didn't understand it.
So you think they
were
arrived?
Yeah, that kind of, that was exactly, we'll show you. But silently. Silently. Yeah.
What role did being a woman play in your success or otherwise in the industry? And as a woman, what are some of the challenges you encountered?
Being told that you're only pretty or good enough to be in front of screen. Yeah, because when we first started, we were all just in front of camera acting, right? Then you hardly had any woman behind camera because they felt like we didn't have the knowledge or the wherewithal to, you know, shoot a film or be behind camera. You know, we were told what to do, how to think, you know, how to speak. They'll write your roles for you. We didn't have many female script writers, so obviously the males were writing from their own perspective and, you know, what it means from their own perspective, you know. So those were some of the challenges that I dealt with. And then fast forward years later, this set I just told you, I just finished the Netflix production. All the heads of department were women. For the first time, I saw a woman was a Steadicam operator. I saw a woman sound recorder. All of them were women, and I was so impressed. And I told them, I said, we've come a long way. When I first started this industry, they felt we were just pretty enough, and thank God we had talent, to just put us in front of camera, behind the camera. The only people, the only women you would have behind camera were the heads of wardrobe department and makeup, because at the time, men were not doing makeup or even styling the characters we're playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the rest were done by men.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
it's changed a lot.
Though.
Even in my company, you know, we have a lot of women doing things. I mean, two women, we own the production company.
Oh.
We have like assistant producers and things like that. Mm. Women, they don't work for us permanently, but when we want to acquire their services, you know, we tend to go for
over the
women
past
who have, because, I mean, you have to have the experience and know what it is you're doing anyway, not necessarily about your gender.
Yeah. Over the past couple of weeks on our Showbiz A to Z program here on Joy FM, Kwame Dadzi and his crew have been dealing with the issue of sexual harassment in the creative art industry. Have you encountered anything of the sort?
Personally, I didn't when I started. I did not. Was it happening? I had stories. You know, a few people complained to me that they were experiencing some of these things. And I've had a few stories about sexual harassment and things like that in the industry. And I've criticized it in my own way on my social media handles in the best way I can. You know, we have to constantly keep talking about it. And then Also, at AGN, I think they have some rules now about things like that, which is very good.
Yeah.
So once, if you're abused or things like that, there are numbers to call.
Yeah.
There are things to be done to the call. In fact, something happened recently, actually. A makeup guy was molesting or sexually harassing a young actress, a child actress. Ooh. In a film. Yeah, this happened in the East, actually. So I think the boy's in jail now. They're in court right now. AGN is Actors Guild of Nigeria.
Yeah.
So they're very much on the case. Mm. Yeah.
What are some of the things that you think need to be done to ensure sanity in the creative industry, in the film industry, or things that you've wished to see or happen in the film industry on the continent?
It would be nice for actors to have their when you've worked, enter your film is paid, you get when you're in a film and it's played.
Oh, the royalties.
The royalties, thank you.
Yes.
Oh, my head. Yeah, it would be nice for actors to have their royalties, you know, so that way people are not struggling even when they get older, which has been the challenge in the industry, because some old actors, you know, they've been struggling financially.
That's
and that
true.
Shouldn't be so. These are people who have done major films, they've been involved in major films and all that. And then all of a sudden, when they're old, you know, they're struggling financially. Meanwhile, their films are still being played on YouTube, on all these platforms, and they're not even getting royalties or getting money from that. That is one thing I would really like to see change.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I think that's
because you have to empower. I mean, actors should be financially empowered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They should be, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, the assumption is you make a lot of bucks during your lifetime, so maybe it's
investing
more financial
as well.
Planning.
And then you can thank you. That's,
that doesn't work.
That
right?
too. That too. So maybe some of us need to, you know, invest more. Do more financial planning.
Yeah.
You know, and understand that the work will not always keep coming.
And you know, it doesn't help as well when actors and actresses also look like they've got life figured out. You know what I'm saying? Because during the prime, everybody's looking all, you know, driving the best cars, living mansions.
But that's the thing.
Whatnot.
But that's the thing, because as the money's coming, you're spending it to look a certain way
to
maintain that whole persona of an actor and a star. You know, it's expensive as well, having to support the brand or support the celebrity status.
Yeah.
It's expensive, so which is why you have to know how to spend your money.
Do you feel pressured to keep up with the status?
I'm not one of those. I definitely don't feel pressured. Some do, don't get me wrong, do, which is why maybe they feel the need to do other things to, you know, I don't know. I don't feel that pressure.
To keep up the appearance.
I don't know. I don't. I really don't.
Yeah.
You see, life is easy. Human beings complicate things, you know, in the sense that just know your limits and just cut down on your expenses. Mm. It's important for us to do that. You know, it's the moment you start to think that, oh, I need to present this whole persona or whatever to the world, they have to see me be this kind of person, that is when you start to struggle. And then why would you put yourself through that? For what? Because you want to please the public and displease yourself? Because when your pockets run dry, they won't be there for you. You know, you have just yourself.
During the period you had that silent ban, how bad did things get?
It was bad. But I found a way to survive.
How long do you think you went without getting a role?
The meeting was, maybe about 2-3 years. However, I went to film in Kenya. I did a film in Kenya that period, which was a very big film. But unfortunately, it wasn't released publicly, because the couple that bankrolled the film, you know, they went through a nasty divorce.
Oh.
And the film got caught in all of that.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Were you paid that?
Of course I was paid. I was paid very well.
Like, yeah, you got some good divorce, but please, my money.
That was what won me my first AMA Award.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was the first actress from West Africa to win the Kalasha Awards for that same film. The Eastern Africa Awards for that film.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the creative industry here in Ghana, a lot of the, you know, players and stakeholders complain about how government doesn't exactly pay too much attention to it. And, you know, it leaves a lot to be desired, the kind of attention that it needs and the kind of investment that it needs and whatnot. Is it the same in Nigeria? What place that the creative sector, you know, holds in the economy?
Yeah, to be honest, with the last government, they had all this, the one before him, Dr. Goodluck Jonathan, President Goodluck Jonathan, created all sorts of fund schemes, you know, to support the entertainment industry, which helped. But for me, the way I see it is, we really don't need the government creating all these fund schemes and all that. I just need them to create an enabling environment for the industry and other industries to thrive. Once they understand that this industry can generate a lot of revenue for the economy, then maybe they will see the need or feel the need to create an enabling environment for us to thrive.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Ghana and Nigeria have been, well, should I say, proteges or family when it comes to the creative sector. In fact, a few years ago, there was a lot of collaboration between Ghanaian actors and Nigerian actors. There were all these. Did you do any of those?
Oh, yes. I did a film or two here in Ghana.
Yeah.
I think two.
You know, there was a moment there were all these very interesting collaborations, Ghana-Niger collaborations and whatnot.
Yeah.
Tell me about those experiences.
It was nice. I mean, having that collaboration and having all the crossovers and things like that. In fact, it's so funny that I was asking Nana 2 days ago, what happened?
Yeah.
And she doesn't seem, that just stopped. I know there was there was this friction between the marketers back home in Nigeria and the marketers here. I don't really know what the story is, but I think that's derailed. I don't know. I really don't want to talk about
what
it. I don't know
what could have been the issue.
I don't know. I'm not a marketer, darling.
No, but you're in the industry. I mean, so you
I'm
probably
in the industry,
would,
but I don't know.
You know.
Because even at that time, some of us had actually sort of stopped doing the very commercial films. Do you understand? In the sense, in the sense that we had stopped doing a lot of the commercial films I was just telling you about, the VCD movies. Some of us had now started doing like films that would go to cinema.
Yeah.
So because of that, we didn't really know what was going on a lot with the marketers in that industry. Well, in that part of the industry. So I don't really know, to be honest. I don't know. I just heard rumors that the marketers back home, and I think some of the marketers here, had some sort of friction. And that affected a lot of things. And if you ask me what the friction was, I have no idea. I don't know what happened.
Well, you didn't care.
No, I didn't care.
Make your movie, make your money.
No, like I didn't care. Well, they were the ones that banned me silently anyway, so.
But do you remember the people you acted with, the Ghanaian actors?
Oh, yes. Yvonne Nelson,
right.
Van Vika.
Yeah.
I think there was one more person, I can't remember. But I remember Yvonne Nelson, Van Vika. And then back in Nigeria, I worked with Van Vika as well, once or twice.
Yeah.
I never worked with Majid.
Majid
I worked
Michelle.
With Nadia.
Nadia Buari.
In Nigeria, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Those are the ones I know. Which, Yvonne Okoro, I never worked with Yvonne Okoro. But we know each other, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, Lydia Fawson, I never worked with her, but I know her.
Yes.
She's a lovely, lovely girl. She was at my traditional wedding. She
oh,
came
was
all
she?
The way, yes.
Wow.
And she even wore the Ashoebi. Ashoebi is the uniform that...
Yes.
The girls' friends wear, which was very nice and kind of her.
Oh.
So, I'm hoping to see her while I'm here.
Oh, Lydia's adorable.
She's lovely.
Yeah,
she's
got a
very talented
hair brand.
She's doing, yes, actually.
Doing very well.
Yeah, well, that's
I think
amazing.
I need to tell her to get you some as well.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I'm seeing her, I might see her this
evening. Kinky Matters, yes.
Okay, Kinky Matters.
That's what it's called.
I think I saw when she was talking about it on social media.
Yes.
When it was released, I think.
Oh, yes. She's got a very beautiful skincare hair brand or something it's called Kinky Matters.
So she's lovely.
Yeah.
Jocelyn Dumas, actually.
Oh, Jocelyn.
Oh, Jocelyn is lovely.
Yes.
She couldn't make it, but she sent me these lovely gifts. You know, and she's not in town at the moment because we had a chat. I worked with her on a project last year. It's a series that may be released on Prime or Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Good stuff. So it means
that. And then before then, I did a film with Jocelyn as well. It's a series as well for MM Isong, one of an acclaimed producer back home.
Yeah. So there's still that collaboration. There's still that Ghana-Niger collaboration, but not like it was before.
Not like it was before, but mostly cinema films or so streamers, films or series that are going on streaming platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still there, but not as much as it was at the time.
I'm curious about what your thoughts are about the Ghana movie industry, of course, from your experience back then and now.
I know Shelley Frimpong is a very talented film, maker, writer, and I've seen a few of her films and she's quite good. And then I've seen one or two projects from Ghana, and to be honest with you, I think you guys are very talented as well, Well, is there something else you want me to say?
Is there something else you want to say?
Nothing else.
Are you sure?
Very sure.
Why don't I trust you?
What is wrong with you? No, it's when you're looking at me and I'm wondering, okay, am I supposed to say something else? No, to be honest, they're very talented, I know a few of their films premiered at TIFF as well. Either one or two premiered at Toronto International Film Festival, I think. Shelley Frimpong's film.
Yeah.
And I think there's one she did that Motola featured in with, what's this guy's name? He's American, but he's from... he's from Africa, but moved to America a long time ago.
Mm.
What is his name? Well, he's in the film. It's about
Chris?
Sexual... No, no, Chris. Omotola was in this film. It's a Shelley Frimpong film.
It's a Shelley film.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure which
one. And then there was Omotola. There was the dark actress that lives in London.
Amake Abarese.
Yes. And then there's somebody else. I think Amake Abarese played the lead. That was a very good film. And I liked the subject matter.
Right.
Yeah, it was about, rape and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was quite good.
Good.
And
stuff.
I think it went to some major film festivals, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff. If you're just joining us, we're having a good conversation here on Personality Profile with Rita Dominic. Rita Dominic. And I've totally enjoyed getting to know more about your journey. What would you like to be remembered for?
My work is my legacy. So it's important that I do films that will continue to inspire generations to come. It's very important to me.
Mm.
Because we learn a lot through the arts, through creativity, through film. So the kind of films I do, the kind of work I'm involved in, I want it to continue to inspire people, when I'm not here.
What's the biggest lesson life has taught you?
When you think of something, do it immediately. Because when you keep, postponing, procrastinating, you might just get lost. And you never do it, and you now start to have regrets. Oh, I should have done this in the minute I spoke about it years ago and all that. Once you think of something, once you think of doing something, if it's doable, if it's attainable, do it at that time.
I'm curious, how did you learn that lesson?
I will tell you. It's something that's very personal.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say it. Yeah. Just take that one now. Let me keep some to myself.
No.
Okay.
I could tell that there's a story behind this.
There's a
lesson.
Story. There's a story behind it, but I'm not gonna say it.
You're not gonna tell me that one.
No, I will not.
But the next one you're gonna tell me.
What's the next one?
Okay. How's marriage so far?
It's nice. It's interesting. I'm blushing. Oh my god. It's nice. It's interesting.
It's been how many years? 2 years now, right?
2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
2 years in April for the traditional marriage.
I see.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. How did you meet? How did you, you know, hit it off? You don't have to turn purple
God,
now.
Oh, God, I am turning pink. Well, we were friends for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we found love and dated and then got married.
Mm-hmm. And is this your first marriage?
Yeah.
And it came 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Why did you wait so long?
Why did I wait so long? I wanted to do it. I wanted to be sure that I was marrying for the right reasons and not for the reasons, you know, that stems from societal pressure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was society given pressure about the timing of it?
Of course. There were. I mean, even before I got married, the pressure was there for years. But, you know, I just turned deaf ear.
Yeah. Because this was way after 45, right?
Yes, of course.
And I'm sure people will be like, okay, Rita, what's going on?
Yeah, they were doing that, but I couldn't be, because at the end of the day, like I always said, I will marry the man of my dreams and not the man the society dreams for me, because if anything goes wrong tomorrow, I'll be the one left to pack up the pieces.
Yeah.
And not the society.
Mm.
So I'll do it when I want to do it at the right time, and I believe I did it at the right time with the right person.
Okay. Why do you think it took that long? Was it because there were not too many good people or right people around you?
I met quite a number of people, but maybe it just didn't happen. It just didn't work out.
Okay, 2 years.
And I don't believe in forcing things. You know, if it's not working, if you guys are not compatible, there's no point in forcing things, and then you go into it, and then tomorrow you're out of it.
Yeah.
For what reason?
Did the fact that you were such a huge public figure also make it more difficult to get married?
I don't think so. I think that's even when you have a lot of people wanting to marry you.
So then you have a problem of choice.
Oh, it's possible.
But that was the case, huh?
Maybe.
Yeah, looks like it, right?
I'm not answering. I think you're smart.
But yeah, I mean, I'm glad you finally made the choice, and then, I mean, I saw pictures of the wedding, and it was grand and all of that. So if you had to give anybody marriage advice after 2 years, what would you tell them?
Marry a friend. Marry a friend, and make sure you guys, your goals and dreams are aligned.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Anyway, there's so many young people who want to be like the Rita Dominic, who you inspire, who look up to you. Talk to them.
Okay, so this is very, when you say talk to them, it's a bit vague in the sense that, now some people, is it that, okay, I have young people, you know, approaching me regularly, and they say things like, oh, I want to become an actor, or I want to be like you. And I always ask, what do you mean you want to be like me? I just want to be like you, a celebrity. That's a mistake, first of all. You have to understand, what do you want to do in a creative industry? Are you creative? Do you want to act? Do you want to sing? Do you want to write? Do you want to direct? What you have to understand what it is you want to do. And you know, pay attention to that, because if you just go into the industry with the sense or the idea of just becoming a celebrity, you're doing a disservice to yourself, because all you're going to be doing is just concentrating on being this popular person with no substance. There's got to be substance. There's got to be something. You have to be celebrated for something. So it's either you're an actor and you know what you're doing as an actor, and then ultimately the acclaim and the celebration will come off of that, or will come from that.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's basically what I always say to them.
No, that's good advice.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you shared. I've totally enjoyed your company.
Thank you for having me.
And,
you're very nosy. But I think you met your match.
Rita, that's actually one of the things we have in common.
Yeah.
We're both nosy.
We're both nosy.
It's just that I'm not sitting on this side of the
scene. Are you serious? You think I'm nosy?
Oh, I know
well,
you are.
Well, I think I actually know. I am, actually.
There you go.
Yeah, I am.
So, that makes two of us.
Actually. Okay.
I'm Lexis Bill, Rita Dominic. It's been great spending time with you on Personality Profile. Thank you so much
for staying tuned in. And next week, we're certainly back with another great, great conversation. Enjoy your day.
Best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You could beat the world, you could beat the war. You could talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock, yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You could be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself. Walk straight through hell with a smile.
You could be the hero, you could get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke.
Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. You're never gonna know if you ever even try.
Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day.